You asked for it. Here it is. It's a podcast from Apathetic Enthusiasm.
Coming to you live from a place where we're interviewing people who are only semi-tangentially related to Rick and Morty. That's right. We got Michael Cusack and Zach Cadle, who has even less to do with Rick and Morty than Michael, on Interdimensional RSS, the unofficial Rick and Morty podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a very special episode of Interdimensional RSS, sort of. This is, in fact, my name is Travis. That, of course, is Brandon.
Hello.
And we wanted to share with you an episode of our other podcast, Apathetic Enthusiasm. That's the show where Brandon and I talk about pretty much anything that we want to that's not Rick and Morty related. However, in this episode, as Brandon mentioned in that phenomenally improvised intro, we did have an opportunity, Brandon mostly, to interview the creators of Smiling Friends, Michael Cusack and Zach Cadle. And so what we wanted to do is just share the episode with all of you as well. So if you are not a regular listener of Apathetic Enthusiasm, if you've never heard that podcast, this is your opportunity. If you turn it off in the first 5 minutes, we understand.
That's your opportunity as well.
That is fine.
Everything is an opportunity in this world that we live in.
We have some plans for additional interdimensional RSS episodes coming up in the future. But until then, please enjoy this episode of Apathetic Enthusiasm.
Here you are.
You asked for it. Here it is. It's a podcast from Apathetic Enthusiasm.
In this episode, we're talking about our friends. We're talking about conventions. We're talking about X-Men. We're talking about all the things. We're talking about Echo. We're talking about Reverb. We're talking about podcasts. Apathetic Enthusiasm.
Echo and Reverb.
Brandon, what the heck happened?
The two new Marvel properties.
my favorite mutants, Echo and Reverb.
Did you hear a lot of Reverb on that?
I didn't hear any of it, but I saw you physically put your hands over your headphones, which is never a good sign when we're recording a podcast.
That's true. That's true. Well, hey, welcome to Apathetic Enthusiasm, the show where we talk about sound quality in the middle of recording.
It's our favorite topic.
I'm Brandon. Of course, that is my longtime pal, Travis Menard.
Oh, that's me.
Who we've been podcasting for 9 years, Travis.
9 years. 1 year shy of a decade.
That's right.
Can you believe it?
Did you know that 10 years is defined as a decade?
No, I never heard of that.
Yeah. It's one of Biden's new policies.
On our politics podcast, Apathetic Enthusiasm.
Biden's been coming in strong, changing up the definition of dates.
We're going to be talking about polls. We're going to be talking about candidates. It's a politics podcast. It always has been.
531 has a new poll out, and it's showing the latest
guesses about things. What we really talk about is whatever the heck we can think about, and we're going to do that tonight. But if you're thinking about something and you want to reach out to us, you can always do that over on X. We're at Apathusiast. I'm at Jugglemino. He's at Barnyard Cruise. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/apatheticenthusiasmshow. You can send us emails, apatheticenthusiasmshow@gmail.com. Over on Instagram, apathetic_enthusiasm. And of course, we are on our website, apatheticenthusiasm.com. If you want video versions of the podcast, you can definitely check those out over on YouTube, youtube.com/apatheticenthusiasm. Like, subscribe, do all the things over there. Leave a comment. Let us know what you think about the conversation. And then a big thanks to our friends over at patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm, continuing to support our shows. Get access to those sweet, sweet post-show content. Oh, it's so sweet.
They've never been sweeter.
It's like a basket of peeps. So sweet.
Oh, I've got a few peeps left. I'm gonna shove right in my mouth.
Do you prefer a peep fresh from the cellophane? Or do you like that cellophane to have been open for 1 to 2 days so that the peep like is exposed to the air and it started to get a little stale? Let's get a little firmer.
One to 2 days, you say? No.
Or weeks.
I go a year. I only eat peeps from the year prior.
I like to go and I like to open all the peeps and I put them on a shelf.
Uh-huh.
And I label the year.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then as soon as I put those up, that allows me to then pull the peeps off the previous year's shelf so I can start consuming them.
The reason I have a basement here in the valley is because I have a peep cellar, right? I have vintage peep. From 96 was a really good year for peep. Mm. I popped the cork open.
It's weird because you were telling people that you were showing them off. You'd be like, hey, you want a peep show? And then they'd think it was something else going on. Yeah. There was a legal battle back in.
Right. Which is, I mean, similarly,
20,
people
25.
People are always put off when I tell them about my donkey show. Like they're not really a fan of that. I don't know why, but anyway.
Well, that's because you have a literal donkey that you. Anyway, let's. Happy April Fools, everybody! Yeah. We're not doing an April Fools podcast,
no.
Although I did share with some coworkers today about what is without a doubt my favorite April Fools shenanigans I've ever been involved in. And that is when we did the Jimmy Neutron interdimensional RSS episode.
Yeah.
I think back on it fondly. I think back to the people that continued to email us months later thinking it was a real podcast. Good times. Hopefully you weren't fooled too much by any April Fool's things going on.
Since this is our April Fool's episode for all intents and purposes. Sure. We are recording this on the 1st of April. This morning I started my day at the office on Microsoft Teams, and I said, hey everybody, good morning, as I say good morning to my team all the time. And I say, just to let you know, I hate today and I don't like the news because I can't believe anything. And tell you what, if you try to trick me at all, I'm going to trick my supervision into thinking that you're good workers, you know, or bad work. I don't know. It was one of the two. So a couple things happened at work today. That was like, look, don't try to trick me. Don't try. A pipe broke over the weekend and it affected the server room. Try again. No, that actually
good
happened.
One. Yeah. Real original.
Okay. All right. So that happened. Sure. But one thing that actually happened today was we have badge readers to get into our building, and somebody put a sign on one of the badge readers. You flash your badge and then you put your PIN in. Well, I guess my coworker Lillian, she was telling me this, that somebody put a sign on one of the badge readers that says it's now voice activated. So you scan your badge and then say your first and last name. And she fell for it. She's like, boonk, Lillian. Boonk, Lillian. And then somebody walked up behind her and was like, it's an April Fool's gag, you know. Anyways, no one played a gag on me, thankfully. But I also point out, Travis, that usually we do like an April Fool's episode where you're like, hey, let me grab headlines. What fool's gag or no fool's gag? I don't think we're doing that this year.
We're not, because I got through 66% of today completely forgetting it was April Fool's. I even to the point where like I played my daily connections puzzle and it was. Instead of words for all the connections, it was emojis. They used emojis for the clues instead of spelled out words. And I was like, oh, that's weird. And then I went ahead and kept solving the puzzle. And I solved it. Didn't think twice until someone's like, oh, yeah, it was April Fool's. So they did emojis. And I was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense why they did that. So I have not. I was too busy like doing actual work and things to get hung up on April Fool's, unfortunately.
I do.
Although I
do.
I will.
Go ahead.
Did you do it? Did you do the prep work?
I did one bit of prep work, but I'll let you finish your thought.
I know. I was just going to say one of my favorite work-related pranks that was played on me for April Fool's is when we would do our daily stand-up as a team, and we would all get together. We stand around. We talk about announcements for the day, and then we had this little ritual we did where at the end of stand-up, we would say, like, that's stand-up, and then everybody would clap in unison. And that was like us all coming together as like a final like break, like, all right, let's go do things. Right. And on this one particular day, I honestly feel honored that they went to the effort to talk to every single person in the office so that when I closed out stand up and said, that's stand up, I was the only person that clapped. Everyone else was silent. And I just clapped, and it was the biggest feeling of joy and deflation at the same time. We're just like, oh gosh, they got me. It was beautiful. It was beautiful to be in a room full of people and the only one clapping is
that's a good one.
If you've never done it before, I highly recommend.
That's what they call a victimless crime, Travis.
Except for me.
No, because you got the satisfaction of knowing that this was so important to you that they knew it would be flattering and humiliating for you. Yes. It's a sign of appreciation. And
it was special. I mean, the only concern I have now is I've moved to a different office where I have implemented the exact same ritual at the end of our daily stand-up. And I know a person in that office that listens to this podcast
that doesn't appreciate you.
I'm on to you. If this ever comes up, I Sam, I know it was you. I know.
Do it, Sam.
Don't do it.
Or tell you what, Sam. Here's the thing you can do. Next, instead of not doing the clap, just have everyone yell Brandon. He's like, all right, that's stand up, Brandon.
I would likely defecate.
likely. Yeah. Okay. So my one bit of prep work, Travis, is April Fools or not April Fools. Today is the birthday of the Navy Chief.
Not April Fools.
That's right. It's not an April Fool's gag, but it might as well be, because I mean, why are you going to, like, Navy chiefs have a birthday? The Navy celebrates weird traditions. It's odd. Like, interesting. I told my coworker, like, you know, the Navy, they celebrate things like, oh, this is the first time we shat across the equator. You know, like, I don't know why you celebrate that. But anyway, happy birthday, Navy.
Yay, Chief. Navy traditions. Go Navy.
They do. They do have an equator tradition, by the way. Like, if you go across the equator, they got like a whole ceremony thing.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So April Fool's is the thing that happened. For those of you that only listen to Apathetic Enthusiasm, and we appreciate both of you, we do talk a lot about Adult Swim on Interdimensional RSS, the unofficial Rick and Morty podcast, which is our other podcast that we frequently make. And one of the things that Adult Swim likes to do is cool April Fool's specials or things like that on their late night television channel. One of the big things that sort of springboarded our Rick and Morty podcast was the fact that we were one of the only podcasts about Rick and Morty when the season 3 premiere came out on April Fool's Day. That was, and we got a chance to talk about that. That tradition is alive and well, but this time not with Rick and Morty. Instead, for another popular show on the channel called Smiling Friends.
Yay!
what they did this year is Smiling Friends. It's a somewhat short form show. It's most of the episodes are only about 10 minutes long or so. And they took three of their episodes and reanimated them as with puppets. So instead of using the traditional animation, it seems like they had three different groups of puppeteers go in and reanimate one of these shows using different styles of puppetry. If you missed it, if you were not watching Adult Swim, you can definitely go out to YouTube, look up April Fool's 2024 Smiling Friends puppet version. It's out there. You can't miss it. All 30 minutes or so are out there, but it's really cool. It's really cool. It, which for Smiling Friends, it's a show, if you're not familiar with it, it is animated, but they utilize different styles of animation. Sometimes they use live action. They use different techniques. So I think it's cool that they completely remade some episodes using puppets. I don't know. Did you catch this? Had you gotten a chance to watch any of this, Brandon?
No, I didn't catch it. I wanted to, but I fell asleep very, very early on Sunday night instead of staying up till midnight, which is when it premiered.
Right.
April Fool's Day and all that. So I will go back and I'll watch it. I did catch a little bit of it as you were watching it here when I hopped on the Zoom. But yeah, no, that's the thing I love about the show. And we'll talk about Smiling Friends a little bit more here in a second. But I love the show because they have a bunch of different types of animation, different styles, which really harkens back to Zach and Michael's experience with YouTubing and Newgrounds and all that, you know, flash animation, the beginings of the internet as we know
today. Yeah, I feel like a fraud. I feel like a weird sort of we host this show, Interdimensional RSS, about Rick and Morty, one of the biggest shows on Adult Swim. We've gone and participated with Adult Swim doing different sorts of interviews and things like that. But there's a lot of Adult Swim content that I just don't see because one, I don't watch traditional cable. And two, I just like, there's sometimes there's just like really niche things or stuff out there that, I don't think to fire up on Max or something like that to check out. So Smiling Friends was one of those shows that I had not seen before. I had some coworkers that recommended it. They're like, oh, it's really funny. You should check it out. And it wasn't until you were provided an opportunity to interact a little bit more with the creators of Smiling Friends that I was like, okay, like, got to do the homework, got to prep. So
and Brandon, I started watching because it. I know Brandon is gonna wait the last minute to do it.
Nah. Of course not. But started watching the show, and it's insane. It's hilarious and a little disturbing at times and in all the ways that you want it to be. It's just super creative and really funny. So I don't know, like, what were your thoughts when you were checking out Smiling Friends for the first time?
Smiling Friends, we went to Adult Swim on the Green Comic-Con last year, and there was a Smiling Friends panel last year. And, you know, we didn't make it. It's something that, like, I kept seeing over and over again. We talked to the Teenage Euthanasia creators last year, and Smiling Friends was kind of adjacent to that. And but as you point out, like, I don't have cable. You don't have cable. Watching any of the new shows on Adult Swim, you almost have to, like, luck into like being in a hotel and catching it one night or something like that, or a friend recommending it to you. And so when we reached out to Adult Swim, as we do, we said, hey, we have WonderCon passes, we have Comic-Con passes this year. Are there any opportunities? They said, hey, yeah, Michael Cusack and Zach Hadle, like, they're going to be at WonderCon. Would you be interested in interviewing them? I'm like, yeah, of course. Travis won't be there, but I'll do it. As a laugh.
I love talking to strangers by myself.
I love it. I love it so much. And I'm like, okay, cool. Well, so Adult Swim had sent me last year, right around Comic-Con time, they had sent me the Blu-ray for Smiling Friends. And, you know, I hadn't had a chance to watch it yet. So I was like, okay, this will be good. I'll be able to watch it. I'll be able to check it out. So I watched it with my 12-year-old and Chelsea. She got like 5 episodes in and I fell asleep. The kid and I, we watched the whole thing. And what I love about the show is it's Pim. There's two characters, Charlie and Pim. Pim is this kind of smaller guy. He's got an Australian accent. He's very good-natured and has a good heart.
Extremely positive, like ready for anything.
And so for those who don't know what Smiling Friends is about, the whole concept of the show is that there's this company called Smiling Friends, and they get hired to make people smile. That's the whole conceit of the show. And that's where all these adventures come through. And so anyways, Pim and Charlie is one, the two of the Smiling Friends. They go around and they go on adventures. Pim is so good hearted, has such a good, like, optimistic message of like, yeah, I just want to make people smile, right? Ah, let's make people smile. I love that. But then there's a bunch of crazy shit, as Michael Cusack does it do. So I loved it. And there's a couple episodes that like just stick out of, oh my God, what just happened? They just beat that thing to death. They started eating it, you know? So it was really, really cool. And so I was excited to get a chance to talk to them here at WonderCon 2024 in Anaheim. And so I did. I got to talk to them for about 10 or so minutes in the interview room.
And lucky for you listeners / viewers, you are going to get to hear that interview in its entirety right now. So this is Michael Cusack. Zach Hadel. So these are both the voice actors as well as creators of this show. And here is Brandon's interview with both of them from WonderCon 2024.
So gentlemen, good to see you. Good to meet you. I want you to know that this isn't how I usually do interviews. And I just bought this portfolio today.
It's a great portfolio.
Yeah, wow, for you.
It's very beautiful.
It's a business expense, so $17 from FedEx.
Take that, IRS.
Get out of here. All right. So, you know, first and foremost, thank you for taking your time hanging out with me. Brandon, Interdimensional RSS, the unofficial Rick and Morty podcast. And you're probably wondering, Rick and Morty, this isn't a Rick and Morty panel. Or
could be.
But that's okay because Bush World Adventures exists, so right. You know we can tie it together.
Yeah, it's some crossover ish.
So what I really want to ask is my son and I, we binged it, you know, the 12-year-old over there, unprofessional and probably not appropriate for him, but that's okay. The genesis of the show, I really, as somebody who likes to be positive all the time, who likes smiling. I would love to know what the genesis of Smiling Friends is, as far as like, what are the idea for a business where people just smile? Make you feel smart.
It kind of started out that we just kind of wanted to work together.
Yeah.
And a lot of things came out of that, but it's a very stupid story. It's incredibly stupid, but we had kind of the characters, we had the world roughly, but we didn't really know what the hook was. Like, what's it about?
Yeah.
You got characters and everything, but we were at Gus's Chicken in Burbank, and we were just literally eating disgusting, spicy, diarrhea-inducing chicken, and it was like, oh, it's like a suicide hotline, but for people that are not suicidal, but just unhappy. And then, because a lot of people can be unhappy you can be sad for a personal reason, for financial reason. There's a million reasons why people are not happy,
sure,
and a million solutions. So that kind of opened it up to us to be, and it also just was a nice theme. It's like, okay, they're helping people. It's kind of, I guess in a way, it's a little bit metaphorical to the audience in a weird meta way, but it's not really.
Yeah. And I think a lot of the comedy aspect of it was just like having like a dark world was like all the things that like would make fun of, like, just, I don't even know what I could say, like people balding and stuff like that was funny to
like
us.
Real shit,
like,
real,
like horrible stuff raw. That happens to people. And it's like, that like super reality.
Was
it was just because that was the kind of stuff we were always talking about. But like then mixing that with like a very, very colorful cartoon was like I don't think we'd ever seen that before. And it was also like coming up with like a thing that you could just, we don't want to go on forever, but it's a thing where it's like it could go on forever. Like helping someone smile, like in this world, if it's a very like depressing world where everyone's upset, it makes sense they can just have new characters coming in that are always sad. So
right.
Yeah, it just kind of came like that.
It was one of those things where it's like, it's a good plot device if we need it, but also the characters work on their own. If we want to do an episode that's just about a Halloween party, we can, you know, there's still totally some stuff in there that's kind of the show, but it doesn't always have to be about that, but it's the good, like the heart of the show that allows center of gravity.
Yeah. And I love the innocence of the characters with all the craziness going on, just going into the woods, picking up wood for the Halloween party, and then the monster coming back in makeup, blackface.
Yeah.
And then how that turns into them beating the hell out of them and then eating them. It's wonderful. Shout out to Dexter. Okay, you know, along those lines, a gentleman mentioned earlier about like the dialogues, mixing and matching some of the story driven in and also the improv. I wanted to ask about the Brazil episode because fantastic. I love it going all this crazy stuff and then just a conversation panning to the right the entire time. Was that a real situation? And if not, How'd you come up with
this question? It wasn't really like we didn't go to Brazil and have the exact same situation. But like initially, Smiling Friends was funny to us where it was just like going back and forth, like purely improv and like very, very ultra realism. So it was just an excuse to get out that kind of feeling. But did we have any? Something similar.
I think what it was basically, and I'm glad that is a question because we've asked it before. It's like I'm glad we sold it enough where people are like, oh my god, because everyone's kind of been in a situation where it's like, oh, you didn't order the food, we're all hungry. It's like someone's had a version of that. But I mean, like you were saying, the whole, I think even before there was like plots of Smiling Friends, and it was just a really early thing. It was just Michael and I having weird back and forth dialogue, you know. And when the show got made, season one got made, because it's 11 minutes, you kind of lose those little improv moments a little bit.
Yeah, it has to be plotty.
And so that to us was like a good excuse to be like kind of almost a pure original Smiling Friends thing. That came out, I think, probably as one of the earliest episode ideas.
Yeah, and it was like, that was the feeling we were trying to get with the whole thing. But yeah, like you say, you kind of lose it. We do have DNA. It's fine. And you get a story across, but it's almost like, I almost wish we had like two outlets. We could do Brazil episodes and the normal Smiling Friends episodes, because something's just so funny about just improving a whole episode.
And we did that. We had the bullet points. You know, Curb Your Enthusiasm has an amazing show. They have like bullet points. Yeah. So we just had like, all right, Pim gets pissed off here, whatever. Mm-hmm. And we did like four or five run throughs and we just cut it together.
It's just fun. It's like just fun to go back and forth.
Piecemeal it, picking.
Yeah. Whatever, the funniest thing of each version.
Reno 911, they would do like hours and hours of improv and then just pick and choose.
Very
funny show.
Yeah.
I had a question on the animation style. Obviously, there's a traditional, but then there's a 3D stuff, and then there's live action, like with the gentleman talking to the TV in the alleyway.
Right.
You know, do you based on your backgrounds with internet and YouTube, internet, yeah, YouTube is
the web,
yeah. The web, spider web is you know. What do you find most interesting about collecting all of those different styles and putting them into a show?
I think for us, we always want to make it so like the audience isn't going to expect what happens next. And it's like, I feel like a lot of shows, like if they'll do like a parody of like a genre or something like that, it feels a little bit like, it feels like they're staying in their style, which works. It's great. But it just feels like a anything goes show. It's like, why not just like, if we have to have, it feels like it needs to be live action, just do a live action or just any animation medium that feels interesting and it's going to surprise the audience. Just why not go there and have fun? Like it's just about like keeping us interested in it too. Like
it's just fun. A tool. It's a story. Yeah. It can be people surprised. That's the whole point. If people, you know, when Seinfeld went up for 8 or 9 years, they knew it when they wanted to end it because it was like, okay, a fan can write an episode. Yeah. Seinfeld goes to the zoo. All the characters go to the zoo. You can tell what each character is going to do. So for us, it's like, you know, we're only two seasons in, but how do we subvert that? How do we keep the audience surprised and shocked and keeping people going, oh my God, I jumped out of my seat in fear or whatever when that moment happened. That to us is the most exciting.
Yeah. And luckily we kind of made a sandbox where we can do that. So yeah, it's fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Set those expectations earlier of being able to create and be creative and just do a bunch of different stuff.
It's just like, turn your brain off and enjoy the show. You don't know what's going to come, hopefully, unless we screw up and it's like an obvious thing, but turn your brain off and just enjoy the cartoon. Yeah, it's kind of the
Exactly. Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. All right. So season two is coming out. I do notice a couple Easter eggs in there. I mentioned Russ. I see a blue Bart Simpson old style animation. Yeah. Are there any other Easter eggs in season two?
There's a lot.
There are a lot.
There's a lot of Easter eggs in season one and two. I think
has anyone even mentioned the fifth Smiling Friend? Has anyone talked about that online?
No.
We hide a fifth Smiling Friend in season one and season two, that's in the background of shots sometimes. I feel like no one's seen it yet. Maybe they have, but that's a fun one that we
he
hide
in.
He
almost gets confused with me as an extra, which could be kind of confusing.
I think the Young Ones did that. They had like, the Young Ones, they had like someone with long hair just in the background and you'd miss them if like, you know, it's just if you had to screenshot and show it online. But yeah, we've done that a little bit.
There's even stuff in season one that nobody's found yet. So like the whole fun of it is, you know, it's 11 minutes. So hopefully it's kind of rewatchable, but there's stuff in
some secret symbols.
Secret symbols. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
There's crap in there that no one's found. We're like for a really, I think we pointed this one out. So this one's already out there, but in the pilot, before we even got picked up for a whole show, we had Mr. Frog in the pilot, like 2 years before season one came out. So we kind of know what we want to do. So we try to bake that in. So you're like, oh, episode two has a reference to episode 8 or whatever. That's exactly what he does.
Yeah.
The one of the last things I want to say is I heard you mention the Twilight Zone going from 30 to 60 minutes. Yep. I mean, absolutely correct.
And some of those episodes are great, but goddamn, some of them are like really.
Yeah. I mean the economy of storytelling for a shorter episode. And that's what I really enjoy about Smiling Friends is like it's self-contained, it's quick, and like the plot is there. Like, you know what the plot is. You're in and out. And it's fantastic.
Thank you.
So that's not really a question. Yes. Fawning over you.
More of that. Yeah, please. Yeah, no.
No, I like your jacket.
Aww. Thank you. Some guy said to me when I went downstairs, he said, nice Logan cosplay. And I was like, I'm definitely not doing a Logan cosplay. But thank you. And so I think the jacket was it. Maybe he was just fucking with me. He was like bullying me in a way. I was like, oh, that's a really subtle.
I think it was bullying.
He was fucking with me.
You think so?
He pulled my underwear off.
Gave me a wedgie.
Give me an atomic wedgie.
I had a Comic Con.
And then took me a comic gave me a swirly. Yeah.
Oh, God. This place, Comic Con. That was smart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's because it's a well, thank you so much for your time. I don't want to take away any more of your time.
We can stay for a few hours if you want.
Yeah, okay. Fuck right. The panel.
Yeah.
But I appreciate you. Season 2 is coming out. We'll see you at the panel at 2. And anything you want to leave the fans with?
I'll leave them this device that I brought.
This is our will to the audience. No.
Well, what should we leave? Thank you for supporting us on this whole journey. I hope you enjoyed this new season. We put a lot of hard work into it.
Jokes aside, we really put a lot of work into it.
So we just hope you watch it and enjoy it. So thank you. Thank you, everybody.
My heart's different now because of the medication and the schedule. The
incident.
The incident that you went through. So the season almost killed us, but that's good.
At least as long as someone enjoys it.
As long as someone laughs, it doesn't matter if we die.
Yeah.
We laugh.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Cheers. Thank you.
Cheers.
Thank you.
And there you have it. There is the amazing Brandon and his interview with Michael Cusack and Zach Hadle, creators of Smiling Friends. So awesome that those guys would be willing to sit down and talk to you and your fancy little notebook. But they seem super cool.
Yeah.
I didn't get a chance to go, unfortunately, but you got to after that interview, you also got to go to a panel.
Yep.
And kind of just take in all of WonderCon, which is a convention I haven't been to. But like, how was that? How was the panel? How was getting to walk around the show floor and how just experience everything?
Yeah. Thanks for asking, Travis. I don't feel like it was teed up for me before you mentioned it to me in that 10 minutes or so. During the interview itself. So first
you're
of all,
welcome, Brandon.
We're segueing. First of all, what I want to say is thanks to Michael and thanks to Zach for spending time with me for a little bit. Chelsea called me out at the beginning of that interview. I called myself unprofessional. And she said, you got to stop saying that about yourself. I'm like, I know. It's just a thing that I do. It's
a coping mechanism.
It's defense. But you know what's interesting is, so talking about the panel, we went back to the panel. The panel's maybe about 2 hours later, and oh my god, my dog's barking. At the panel, they were talking about they came out and they started like belittling themselves and demeaning themselves and doing that the defense mechanism stuff, and they're like immediately, and which is funny because Chelsea and my son, they're both like during the interview and during the panel, they remind me of you. you might as well be them, because during the panel they had their iPads, they were drawing on the iPads the whole time. I shot you some images. I'll put some images out there on social media, but they were like doing like weird stuff, and their animation, their art style is not like fantastic. It's not amazing. And the thing about it is, if I didn't mind being a starving artist, if I didn't have a family that I had to take care of and like could start from scratch, like I could be on Adult Swim. I don't want to put myself too far out there, but like I could like
just saying, we got some contacts at Adult Swim. We want to make this happen, Brayden.
I'm not shitting on their art. I'm just saying, I mean, Pim's eyes are just squiggly circles.
They are.
It around. And one of them drew like Sonic the Hedgehog during the panel. And it's like what I would draw for Sonic the Hedgehog.
That's why you hire animators that actually do the final passes on the show.
And they said a couple of things during the panel too that were interesting. They talked about, you know, having a team of animators, having a team to execute your vision while you're busy writing or you're doing this, that, or the other. And I thought that was really interesting. Zach mentioned, you know, like as far as creative artist or starving artistry, like just keep going. And like both of them being really appreciative of the place where they are now. You know, Michael, he has Koala Man, he had Bush World Adventures, he has Smiling Friends, obviously. And they said during the panel, like, you think we're successes, but we still don't feel like we go to A-list parties and we're like, hey, can we get you to guest star? And like, who are you? You know?
Yeah.
And it goes back to the art talk a long time ago on AE about the ladder of success, right? Like, yeah. We're probably Z-listers. They are FDC-listers. Sorry, Zach and Michael. You know, like,
yeah. Thanks for coming on the show. We love your Logan cosplay.
Logan cosplay. But, and it was a cool jacket, by the way. I would totally rock that jacket. So as far as the rest of WonderCon goes, you know, we got a chance Friday night. The interview was on Saturday. Friday night, we went around, we walked around for a little bit. It wasn't super crowded as Fridays tend to not really be unless you're in San Diego. But then Saturday we went back after the interview and it was, you know, way more packed, and it was raining that day in Anaheim. And we're like, oh, is it still going to be busy? Totally was. Not San Diego size, but it was still pretty packed.
Yeah. Yeah, you sent me a video of like the show floor and the exposition or the expo hall or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of my first note. It was like, well, there's quite a few people there, but it's not like the amount of people in San Diego. That is a whole different world in terms of shoving past people and their various body.
The thing with WonderCon is there is room to expand there, right? Like they got the Marriott, they got Hilton, they've got another hotel, which I never remember the name of. They've got a Milton Steakhouse, Milton's,
Ruth Chris.
It's not a Ruth Chris. It's one of those fans. It doesn't matter. Like you can't live there. Okay. So like if we're having a hotel conversation, you can't go there anyway. So like, the convention hall, there seems to be a lot of space there. The main competition you have really is Disneyland. You know, like,
fair. And what competition it is.
But if you want to go to Disneyland during WonderCon, just stay at Disneyland Resort Hotel and something fast pass. I don't know. I don't know what benefits you get there. I don't care. Disneyland sucks. Okay. So, you know, let's move. Sorry, I'm joking. I'm joking. I'm sorry. It was a
we
bad
love
joke.
Disneyland on this podcast, particularly joke. Me, as I point to the Disneyland Funko Pops that are literally
it's a bad joke. I'm sorry. Anyway,
so you like WonderCon. I get it. Did they have comic books there? Did they have Lorcana cards, Brandon? Let's get to the important details.
They have lots of comic book things. A side little journey talking about conventions. You know what's really weird going to a bunch of different conventions is, and maybe Jimmy J can speak to this a little bit better when we interview him again someday, is conventions just kind of blend in with each other.
Okay.
I went to WonderCon last year, Comic-Con with you, WonderCon this year, and like my brain had a short circuit of, wait, where is this? Where is this event? Where is this booth? This booth is over here? Wait, no. Did I see this booth last year? Wait, where was I when I saw this booth? it's such kind of a trippy thing to think. And we talked to a few other people who were like, yeah, I don't know where I am.
yeah, that's fair. Especially people that if they make their living on like the comic convention circuit, right? Where they're traveling to some of these other conventions and trying to either they set up booths, they're artists that maybe they're an artist alley, they're selling prints, they're selling artwork, or it's just like maybe somebody that works for a big name, you know, brand that is just working different places, but like they're only there for a couple of days.
Yeah.
They see like the convention center hall, maybe a few like random rooms and then like their hotel room, but they probably don't know anything else about the area other than that.
Yeah. And as attendees, like I can say this to you and you'll be like, yeah, no, I know exactly what you're talking about. The big booths where they're like two stories high and they're full of t-shirts, right?
Yeah. It's like to the rafters, just like a fence that they've just affixed different graphic tees to.
And you're like, wait, was this in row B 1600 last? Oh, wait, oh, crap. Where was that?
Is that at the Kobe swap meet at Jack Murphy Stadium?
And I'll even say as far as Amazing Hawaii, right? Amazing Hawaii, Hawaii Comic Con. There are some of those same vendors from way back in the day for us that are in WonderCon, that are at Comic-Con. I have some really cool pieces of art from this kind of like, I don't know what you would call it, but it's like Super Smash Brothers. There's some Rick and Morty stuff. There's some Nickelodeon stuff. And it's like kind of like this anime style version of all of that. I've seen that same artist here in LA, Anaheim, San Diego, Hawaii, I think maybe even Florida. And so those types of things start to be like, wait, where am I?
Did I see that here last year or did I see it at a different convention?
Right.
I totally get that. I 100% understand that feeling and understand, yeah, especially if you go to the same places multiple times and then you start to see the same types of people. I have this really weird knack for remembering faces.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember people's names to save my life. I think your name is Brendan,
I will slaughter you.
But I can see someone like one time and then a year, 2 years later, see them again somewhere and be like, I saw that guy. He worked the Rickmobile in Omaha, Nebraska, and now he's working Adult Swim Fest or something, right? Like, so
yeah.
It's weird. So like sometimes those interactions like happen where I'll like see someone, I'm like, I don't know your name. I'm only 50% on why I might know your face, but I am positive I've seen you before.
Like, all right. Last thing before we segue into the rest of the topics of conversation is, so the Adult Swim representative that we interact with, I won't say her name, Right. But she's the one we trade emails with. She's the one that we usually see at Comic-Con or WonderCon. And so I go in to talk to Michael and Zach. We're waiting for them to arrive. And she's like, oh, hey, she recognized me. Yeah. All right. And she's like, remind me, are you Travis or are you Brandon? Because she could never remember which one we are. Yeah. Ever. And that's
so here's what we're going to do. We're going to make name tags when we go to San Diego. And we'll, should we swap them? Should mine say, hi, I'm Brandon?
Don't. Let's not do that.
No. Because we'll literally have name tags. We'll have convention passes that say our names on.
I hang out with her way more than you do. So you know, I don't want to confuse her anymore.
Yeah.
But so WonderCon was great. It was good to be there. So the difference between Comic-Con and WonderCon is WonderCon, I went to a single panel, and that's mostly because I've got Chelsea and I've got the kid, and I want to look at a bunch of stuff. I don't want to wait in line to go into a panel. Thankfully, Adult Swim gave us the pass to the Smiling Friends. But one of the panels that I was interested in watching at WonderCon didn't get a chance to see was one, the Dune David Lynch 40th anniversary, but two, X-Men 97, which just came out a couple weeks ago. Couple weeks, the first two episodes premiered. Now the third episode is out there. I was so excited about X-Men 97 because it's like the show is canceled. It was gone. I'm like, okay, some other X-Men cartoons have come out here and there. But this one was like, this is a continuation of your youth, Brandon. Congratulations. You're old. You're an old fucker. You're going to die soon. Why don't we celebrate you with some of your...
By bringing back some of your favorite television cartoon superheroes.
Yeah, yeah. And so far, first three episodes, I'm really digging it. The voice actors were there at WonderCon. I didn't get a chance to see them. But have you watched any of the new X-Men 97?
I have. And I want to take you on the journey of my experience because... We talked a little bit about X-Men 97. I think we like mentioned it was coming out. We talked about the nostalgia factor and how much it's playing to, you know, a time in the 90s when that was a show that many of us watched. Many of our friends watched that show, right? And for me, I saw the show, but I was not a regular viewer of this show, right? I did not watch the X-Men animated series regularly on my own, but I was still excited. I was excited for this to come out. I was excited for Brandon has left the podcast and talking with friends at work and stuff. They're like, oh, X-Men 97. Have you watched it? And I watched the first episode, right? I was getting ready for a road trip. I was doing laundry. I was packing a bag. I was like, I'm going to throw on some X-Men. And I'll admit, I was kind of like half watching it because I'm doing things, I'm doing other things. And I watched the first episode, Brandon, and I'm like, I'm not super into this. I'm not the hype isn't there.
You're gonna piss me off, Travis.
There
better be a redemption arc here in your story.
I watched the first, I was like, I gotta get ready for this trip. I gotta do these things. I pack the bags, I pack up the van, drive my family halfway across the country, we go on vacation. I come back, I talk to my brother-in-law in another state. Hey, X-Men 97 came out. You hyped for it? Knowing full well I was not fully hyped.
Wait, you because said that already, to him?
I did. Well, like, because I know he was in, he's big into comic books and stuff. I'm like, oh, are you excited for it? Knowing I'd already watched the first episode, I was like, I don't know. I go like a whole week back at work talking about, he's like, oh, it's so good. Isn't it the best? I was like, oh, yeah. I mean, I've only got a chance to watch the first episode, but I'm excited to check out the rest of it. So finally, I was like, it's probably me. It's got to be me, right? It's got to be me. So I wake up Saturday morning. The rest of the family is still asleep. I sit down in my office. I put on X-Men. I start painting a miniature, and I put the miniature away because the second episode of this show, I was all in. It was Magneto's back. I don't want to give away too many spoilers, but like the entire sequence with Magneto and the UN and everything that happens, like I was very complete 180. I was like, yes, this is freaking awesome. To the point where I was like, I need to rewatch the first episode because clearly I missed something or I wasn't committing the full amount of attention. So I watched the second episode Saturday morning and then I go, you know what this needs? And I get up and I go to the kitchen and I pour a bowl of cereal.
Some Fruit Loops.
They were Captain Crunch with Crunchberries.
Okay. Oh yeah, that's good. That's good. If you said like chocolate pebbles, like no.
Cocoa Pebbles? No. It is Grape Nuts. That's cereal.
No, that's if you're watching Felix the Cat, you would be watching you'd be eating Grape Nuts.
I just had plain bran flakes. But yeah, so then I watched the third episode, snacking on the cereal. I'm in now. Okay. It is phenomenal. It is great. I spent about 9 days thinking maybe just the nostalgia isn't hitting for me. Maybe just like, maybe there's some sort of break there where like you really only love it if you were super into the first show. But no, it's great, and everybody should go watch it.
did you watch the third episode yet?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought,
okay.
Yeah, I thought it was good. That was the one I watched while I was eating the cereal.
Oh. Okay. Okay. Did you rewatch the first episode? Oh.
I haven't yet.
Okay. No. Okay. I'm interested to see if you know, again hype, right? Like hype ruined it, and like oh, it's not as good as everyone wanted it to be. And then the second episode, your expectations are like down already, so you're like okay yeah. No it's good. Kind of like how I was with Independence Day. I love it now. When I saw it in theaters, whoo, I was not a fan.
Okay,
that's a very random cut. But yeah, is so the thing with X-Men, like I look at my kid didn't like, not that he didn't like, but I tried to get him into watching X-Men when it was on Disney Plus and the first couple seasons, right? And he was like, he was so about it. Well, when 97 came out, we were reading dinner. I'm like, we're going to watch these. we're going to. Sorry. You don't have a choice. Much like when we had him see Yo Gabba Gabba, Plex and Broby. Shout out. He was
if I'm jealous of anything from your WonderCon weekend, I think that's it.
We can talk about that in the post show.
Yes.
But so I made him watch those first episode, and then he wanted to watch the second episode. And then he was like, yeah, let's watch another episode. I'm like, I can't do it. It's weekly now. This is due. We watched the third episode. He's like, can we watch another one? I'm like, yeah. I can't.
We can't.
Yep.
This is what TV was like when I was your age. We had to wait for episodes to come out.
But the show is strange about, because I think there was four or five seasons of the original series, and yet I only remember a handful of like pivotal moments of that show. And I was talking to my coworker Jeff earlier today, and he only remembers a couple of pivotal moments. Like there's one where Cyclops shoots his beam into Mr. Sinister, and Mr. Sinister is like he's affected by it, and he was the only one that was affected by anything that sticks out in my mind. A little bit of the Savage Land, some of that sticks out in my mind. The rest of it is like a blank. And so now we're watching the show, and then like Morph is back. Morph is like doing cameos of like the Blob and Archangel and Psylocke, and it just hits me. Ow, that hurts.
Like it hits you right in the nostalgia.
Yeah.
And we're talking
about comic stuff too. Like Jeff and I, we went to lunch earlier today, and we're just talking about like, yeah, Mr. Sinister, he does this, blah, 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 blah. And then, oh, yeah. And then, of course, like Magneto's origin is kind of different. Like, he's more of an archetypal villain, and Mr. Sinister is more like a plotting man. And then we're like, we're 41, right?
We're both 40, right? Like, we're definitely past the age. But no, that's honestly that. In and of itself is one of the beauties of both the series and things like comic books and things like that is it allows us to have fun to recapture something that we loved when we were kids. And whether or not that's a giant multi-million dollar conglomerate, making money off of our, desperate need to feel young again. So be it. We appreciate the effort. And and it's a good show. And I will continue to watch it. I will. So
yeah.
Even if I don't have any core memories of the original series.
As will I. I love me some X-Men.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Don't go ahead. I'm gonna finish this thought and then you go ahead.
Okay, I'm gonna stop.
All right. Which is that led into like a weird discussion about like the X-Men movie with Bryan Singer, and like how like the animation was like that defined the canon of X-Men for us. And then the movie came out and it was like, these characters are different. Like Cyclops. Okay. Just real quick aside here. Cyclops in the movie.
Cue the 15-minute monologue about Cyclops.
Cyclops in the movie. What a wuss, right? Like, go hang out with Sonic the Hedgehog, right? You are a wussy. And my kids.
Go be a jury alternate or something.
my kid, his favorite X-Man is Cyclops, and I've always been a Cyclops apologist and be like. No, in the comics, Cyclops is badass. He's not a scrub. He's not a wuss. Like, he's a leader of the X-Men. And what I like about the show so far, X-Men 97, a couple of scenes where he just shows how much of a badass he is. Like, he's jumping out of a plane and he superhero lands by using his optic blasts to deaden his fall so he can land. I'm sure
that's how physics works.
Well, so let's not get into comic physics, but like his blast doesn't like move his eyes, right? Like his blast everything else. So he can slow himself down. But then a little bit later, like he like moves himself with the psychic blast, like the Cyclops walk is what Jeff calls it. So cool. I mean, it just shows why Cyclops is the leader of the X-Men before Storm takes over.
Yeah. Who?
Storm. Storm. You know, Storm. The mutant. Or the mutant. Storm goddess.
Sure. Sure. It's a good show. favorite X-Man. Do you have a favorite X-Man? Is it? Did you say?
No, I didn't. You start because you clearly have a thought in your mind.
No. No, I don't. Pyro. Yeah. I feel like as a kid, I really like. I mean, Wolverine, but I really liked Nightcrawler.
Yeah,
mostly because of the X-Men video arcade game.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like I really liked that he could like warp around like that. And then as like the movies came out, I also really liked. Gambit a lot as a kid. So I don't know.
I didn't want to steal your thunder. Storm wasn't my favorite, but I would say Nightcrawler was mine. I loved Nightcrawler because there was a couple of the Genesis game, the X-Men Genesis game, and then the sequel where like you can bamf all over the place. Nightcrawler was always my favorite. And so when X-Men 2 came out, X2, I was like that intro scene of Nightcrawler going through the White House, just taking people out. I was like, yeah, that's the stuff right there. Maybe secondary a little bit is Colossus, and which we did get some love there in Deadpool 1 and 2. But I dig them. Archangel, the Iceman, they're okay. But Nightcrawler. Mm.
Yep. Jubilee.
real quick aside, is Jubilee, I'm glad that in this series so far, they've given Jubilee some agency and that they've empowered her a little bit more beyond what the original series felt like. They're like, yeah, we need some shitty mutant. Put her, she's going to get caught by Sentinels. It's fine.
Yeah, you can come. We need a story arc.
We need a POV character.
Yeah. Yeah. Good stuff. Well, I'm glad to hear you had a good weekend. I'm excited that you got a chance to sit down with creators of Smiling Friends. I'm looking forward to our next convention experience together. Hopefully we get a chance to talk to some folks out there. Who knows? Maybe there'll be people from Disney. Maybe we'll get some X-Men 97 people to talk to, or I don't know, any other of the millions of properties on Disney Plus. But yeah, anything else you want to talk to in this episode before we get out of here?
No, I think that should do it, Travis. I just want to say thank you to everyone, as we always do. We always say thank you. And thank you for listening.
Thank you for being a friend.
Thank you for dealing
with, especially for watching the video version, intermittent pauses and breaks. There's literally a severe thunderstorm rolling through my neighborhood while we're recording this. So we've had internet failures. We've had all sorts of things happen, but we've persevered. So
and keep it in mind. Normally it's Brandon's internet that is not doing very well. And this is one of those
turntables.
This is one of those rare occasions that Brandon's internet superior.
Yeah, you held out while lightning was literally striking my house.
Yeah. And whereas usually it's like, you know, the magnetic the poles adjust by like 0.000001, and then my internet goes out.
And then you're like frozen, like it's the best. I love it.
It's the best.
All right. Thanks everybody for listening. Thank you. Follow us on all the things. We're gonna go record our Patreon only post show. And until next time, I'm Travis.
And I'm Brandon. Thank you.